Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Well, good evening and welcome. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. And yes, I survived the No King's Day protests. A bunch of morons. Welcome to your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. By the way, growing on X, would love to have you follow me on X. If you're not back on X, get back on X. It's a great platform. You won't be harassed by the wackadoodles, and if you are, you can just block them. So I highly recommend that you get on X if you're not. And also, first off, let me start by saying Happy Father's Day to any other fathers who are out there. Thank you for spending your Father's Day with us this evening. One other quick note about a cool event coming up this week. On Thursday, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting their monthly meeting, and they'll have a very special guest with them Thursday evening. The nationally syndicated columnist, radio host Todd Starnes, who will actually be with us later in the show, will be here in Wichita on Thursday evening at the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting. That's it. The meeting starts at 6:30, the meet and greet, and then the formal meeting starts at 7. That's at the Wichita Area Builders Association there on North Main. So if you're interested, 6:30 Thursday evening, Todd Starnes will be addressing the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Speaking of, Todd will be with us here to kick off the 8 o'clock hour to discuss the unhinged violent mobs that have been rioting in American cities and his new book and, of course, his upcoming trip to Wichita. We'll also talk with Senate President Ty Masterson, who's going to try and explain Laura Kelly's shocking decision, or not so shocking, to side with Gavin Newsom as he allows rioters to burn down half of L.A. Emily Berning, president and co-founder of Let Them Live, will expose how Planned Parenthood has quietly become one of the largest suppliers of cross-sex hormones in America. Basically, their main business is killing babies. And so now once they're grown, they want to trans them into, from little girls to little boys. So, it wasn't as if killing them was good enough for Planned Parenthood. Now they want to pervert them. We'll also talk with Bruce Torres, director of communications for the American Small Business League, about why the U.S. Small Business Administration has relocated its regional offices from L.A. due to the city's lack of cooperation with ICE. Does this surprise anybody? And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So, again, welcome to the show. We like to call this your liberal resistance headquarters. And, of course, we're based here in the heart of America, or what's left of it, after yesterday's intellectual meltdown from the radical left. A lot of wet diapers out all over the country yesterday. And if you were anywhere near downtown Wichita or tuned in across the country, you probably saw what I'm talking about. Protests titled, and I quote, "No Kings." That's right. On the 250th anniversary of the United States Army, instead of celebrating the soldiers who sacrificed, bled, and died for their right to scream in the streets, the left decided to organize a full-blown temper tantrum. You'd think that on the 250th anniversary of the Army, a milestone that honors the oldest branch of our military, the one that helped birth the nation and defend it for nearly 2.5 centuries, you'd think there'd be parades, tributes, gratitude, maybe a little humility, But no, instead you had protesters whining about tyranny, waving hand-painted signs, which, you know, at least they weren't all four letters, and accusing Donald Trump of, you know, trying to crown himself a king. No kings, they shouted, which is asinine on the face of it. First of all, no one's trying to crown a king here. Those of us on this side of the aisle recognize that there's only one true king, and it's not a human being. And if you actually understood what tyranny looked like, I mean really understood, you wouldn't be out there waving signs in broad daylight, drinking $8 soy lattes and chomping down on your tofu burger, wearing mass-produced Che Guevara t-shirts made by slave laborers in China and thinking you're a revolutionary. Here's the truth. And it's one we need to say loud and proud. If Donald Trump were truly the autocratic, tyrannical dictator they claim he is, the last thing these people would be allowed to do is protest. In fact, in any country actually ruled by a king or a dictator or an autocrat, marching freely down Main Street, shouting into bullhorns, live streaming your resistance on Instagram while cashing in Starbucks reward points would be outlawed. You'd be jailed. You'd be silenced. You'd be censored. Oh, wait, that's what the left is doing to the right. But that's the irony of the modern American left. They use the freedoms guaranteed to them by the Constitution to attack the very system that protects them. They cry oppression while being the loudest voices in the room. They scream and demand tolerance by being intolerant of anyone who disagrees. Heaven forbid you carried a Trump flag down amongst the rioters yesterday. They'd have branded you and hung you like their fake Orange Man dolls. They claim Trump is a threat to democracy while weaponizing governmental agencies, censoring speech, and dragging a former president through politically motivated prosecutions in a dozen different jurisdictions. Someone ought to sit these folks down and give them a history lesson. Maybe start with, 1776, where the whole point of the American Revolution was to throw off the chains of monarchy and replace it with a constitutional republic, the very system they benefit from while bashing it at every turn. If they're so mad at the United States, so proud they wave Mexican and Palestinian flags, why don't they move there? It's ironic, despite the fact there were hundreds of Mexican flags in downtown Wichita yesterday, yet no one who loves Mexico more than these folks yet refuses to live there. If you love Mexico, adios, muchacho. If the American flag is so offensive to these folks, I'll be glad to help them pack. But here's the part that really gets me. And folks, you're going to want to sit down for this. The same activists screaming no kings are the exact people who staged a quiet little coup in their own party just 4 years ago. Remember the 2020 primaries? You know, because they didn't have one. They refused to hold a real primary. And again, just a year ago, same thing, refused to hold a real primary. They cleared the field. They shoved Kamala Harris down America's throat, a candidate who dropped out 4 years ago before Iowa and didn't even gain a single delegate. That's the woman they then chose a second time around. And now they dropped her in to take the reins in 2024 without a single vote cast. But let's talk about kings. We're the ones who apparently have a king. And while we're on the subject, let's not forget the Democrats' nationwide campaign to remove Donald Trump from the ballot. But we're the threat to democracy. Not by beating him at the ballot box, mind you, but by trying to disqualify him from even appearing on the ballots in a half a dozen states, or by putting him in jail on trumped-up charges. And when they didn't work on that, when that didn't succeed, they just tried to shoot him. Twice. Now let me ask you, who's really trying to rig the system? Who's treating the Constitution like a paper towel? Who's trying to rule from on high behind closed doors with no accountability to the people? I'll give you a hint. It's not the guy holding sold-out rallies in small towns across the Midwest. It's not the guy facing political prosecutions for doing what every president has done in one form or another. No, the real threat to democracy isn't Trump. The threat is the party that has to silence you in order to survive. See, the modern left doesn't want a fair fight. They want submission. They want control. They want you to shut up. They want to shut Trump up, and they want to shut the door to the America that believes in God, country, and personal responsibility. So the next time you see a No Kings protest, remember who's really acting like royalty. It's not the people working two jobs, raising their kids, and voting their conscience. It's the unelected bureaucrats, media elites, and tech overlords who think they know better than the rest of us. And if we don't push back now, if we don't speak the truth boldly and often, these so-called anti-royalists are going to hand us a future where the only thing left of freedom is a memory. And even that will be censored. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Bruce DeTorres, Director of Communications from the American Small Business League, about why the Small Business Administration announced that it will relocate its offices from Los Angeles due to the city's lack of cooperation with ICE. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks if you're looking for a way to get involved, and in particular if you're looking for a little part-time job. AFP, I know, is hiring right now. If you want to get out there, help inform folks, help educate them on the issues that matter, especially as we're moving into the local elections coming up this fall. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and get more information. Sign up and make your voice heard. And of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the U.S. Small Business Administration announced Saturday it will relocate its regional office from Los Angeles due to the city's lack of cooperation with ICE. L.A. is openly refusing to cooperate with ICE, siding with illegal aliens over American citizens and small businesses. With us now is Bruce Torres. He's the Director of Communications for the American Small Business League. Bruce, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
So I saw the statement that that the SBA released, and it basically just called them out for what it is, said that effective immediately, SBA Gov will be relocating its regional office out of L.A. because the city has decided to choose, as they phrase it, siding illegal aliens over American citizens and small businesses. There's something to be said about that. I mean, it's one thing, I get it, if they want to talk about how it impacts labor or anything else. But, frankly, the attitude that you've seen from, Bass and Gavin Newsom really hasn't been a pro-business attitude, has it?
Well, no, but we look at the SBA and what it does from a rather unique perspective, John. If I could take a minute or so to...
Yeah.
Just let you know where we're coming from, how we see things because of what we do at the American Small Business League, ASBL.com. We're a little small business advocacy group in Northern California who has been really advocating for one major aspect of small business support, which is the 23% of all federal contracts that the SBA is responsible for making sure this happens are supposed to go to small businesses, which is great on paper because most people don't know, John, 99.9% of all businesses in America are small businesses.
Right, yes.
98%. Yeah, 98% have less than 100 employees.
That's my wife and I. We own a small business. We're fit that category.
Nice. You can't make America great if you don't make America's small businesses great. The SBA is the only agency dedicated to protecting the interests of America's small businesses. Unfortunately, we are seeing a pattern of many things that are eviscerating the power and the impact of the SBA while it brags that it's doing a great job for small businesses, particularly a few things. It recently got accused of mismanaging about $600 million in loans, and it just got its staff cut by 43%. It's got one of the smallest budgets in the federal array of agencies and administrations. It should have the biggest, protecting the interests of 99.9% of all American businesses. It just had, you know, it's having its staff cut, which is shrinking its budget. It's accused it can't manage $600 million in loans, but it's supposed to get the $1.6 trillion of student loans to manage with 43% less staff. We see it's being set up to fail.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Well, and just the definition. I mean, frankly, small businesses being defined as having 500 or less employees, as far as I'm concerned, that's far too large a number. And small business should be, this may be a little too small, but I would say 10, maybe 20 employees or less. That's a small, that's a mom and pop. And if you've got large corporations that are using loopholes to win contracts that are set aside for small business, that just makes it even harder for these small businesses to use the resources that are available to them.
Bingo. We have been suing the SBA and many other federal agencies and exposing the fact that they falsify compliance with the goal. They say every year 23% of contracts go to small businesses. No, they don't. Our legal victories, many congressional investigations and reports from the SBA's inspector general show that the vast majority, up to 97% of all federal contracts, John, go to big businesses, and real small businesses only get around 3%. Here's the problem, and then we'll talk about LA real quick.
Yeah.
Big businesses get those one-tenth of 1% of companies are big businesses. They're getting 97% of all the federal contracts. They're already big businesses. They don't create one new job to perform those contracts. Whereas if those contracts were given to real small businesses, that's about $345 billion in business every year. That would create, small businesses would create 2 million new jobs every single year on top of the 2 million new jobs America typically creates. And now, LA, we see the quote-unquote relocation. It's just taking the SBA ought to be reformed, first of all, and greatly enhanced. Don't take offices out of a big, important city like LA. Double or triple the offices there. It's a ridiculous excuse to say it's in protest because the city won't enforce the ICE regulations. Are any other federal agencies pulling their offices out of LA by that logic? We see it as a pattern to shrink and diminish the power and importance of the SBA.
So you see it more about that than a statement necessarily against what they're doing with ICE.
It's a cover. We see it as a pattern to shrink and diminish the impact of the SBA because it oversees the fact that 23% of federal contracts are supposed to go to small businesses, and it falsifies compliance with that goal, which is a nice way of saying it lies. It's a deception. The money, the contracts are going to the biggest businesses in the country, starving small businesses, local economies, the working class, the middle class. You're right on the money about the designation. One of the biggest improvements would be to reclassify a small business as something much lower along the lines that you said. Depending on where you search, you find that the average American business has 4 employees, 10 employees,
right,
15 employees. So this is a huge concern.
Let me ask you this. By the way, we're talking with Bruce DeTorres, who is the Director of Communications for the American Small Business League. It doesn't actually surprise me one way or the other, whether they're pulling, for whatever the reason for pulling it out of California. This actually patterns off a trend. California, the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research says California has lost a net of 400,000 residents to other states, from 21 to 22. That was just most recent survey that they've done. They're losing population left and right. And I think that's in part due to their budget shortfalls to the way, I mean, right now, California is facing a budget crisis, a deficit of $12 billion. So is it any surprise that this organization, or for that matter, any other business might want to move out of California?
Well, you're well describing the California being the poster child for what many, including myself, sees as the controlled demolition of not only our small businesses but so many of our institutions that we rely on. It's coming from top down. It's insidious. You know, real researchers are finding these NGOs that are not only investing in these Insta protests that are not organic coming from the streets,
no,
but it is the consolidation of small businesses into a few giant ones for really horrible, not only effects today, but also long term. It's a la what we did in the name of COVID, which destroyed small businesses. So these are red flags of epic concern. And it's great. As an example, riots in L.A., what's going on? It's great to have the chance to talk about, well, in the bigger picture of patterns and things like that, there's really horrible stuff going on that more people need to know about, look into, confirm, and then confront your local representatives, your state representatives, your federal representatives, your senators. Call into shows like yours, find all the info you can about it, and say, what's going on and how can we turn things around?
Well, and if people, you know, just to give a bit of context here, and I know I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break, but in Kansas, there are over 256,000 small businesses, according to the SBA. And these small businesses account for 99% of all businesses in the state of Kansas. And they also employ nearly 600,000 people, which is basically 50% of all employees in Kansas. So it just goes to show how valuable, how integral small business is to the economic health of the state of Kansas. So people who think, you know, a lot of these small businesses don't matter, we need to really focus on the big companies. And I know that, for example, legislators, you know, they're always looking at the shiny object. We just spent, you know, what was it, $800 million to draw Panasonic to Kansas. But when you look at that figure that I just said there, you know, 50% of all employees in Kansas work for small business, and it's 99% of all businesses in the state. Maybe we need to focus on doing what's right for small business and a little less about, you know, taking care of the big guys. Bruce, I hate to do it to you, but I know I'm up on my bottom of the hour break. If folks are interested in the in your organization, which again is the American Small Business League, they can find it at ASBL.com, correct?
Correct.
Bruce, I appreciate you. Thank you again. Happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you.
Speaking of California, coming up, Senate President Ty Masterson will try and explain Laura Kelly's shocking decision to side with Gavin Newsom as he allows rioters to burn down Southern California and obstruct the rule of law. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This very appropriate intro, by the way. Very nicely done, Phil. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. You know you got to leave the music on. On 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Make sure you can, know you always can listen to us by telling your smart speaker. There we go. There we go. Yes. Gotta love the Beach Boys, I tell you. Remind your smart speaker to play KNSS radio, and from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom allowed rioters to destroy the streets of California. And Governor Laura Kelly rushed to Newsom's defense, leading the signing of a strongly worded letter that was way too slow to condemn the attacks on law enforcement, but quick to condemn President Trump for sending in the National Guard in order to calm the situation. With us now to try and explain why she did this is Senate President Ty Masterson. Ty, thank you for joining us, and happy Father's Day, my friend.
Well, happy Father's Day to you, John. I was like, when I heard your intro, I'm going to explain Laura Kelly. I thought, oh, you got the wrong guy. I'm not going to be able to explain this one.
Yeah, no,
I'm on the other side.
You and Dan, you know, it's like tilting the windmills for both of you. I know it's you're like a pair of Don Quixotes. And, you know, here's the other thing that I found so amusing is she spent, what, 6 years now proclaiming how much, you know, she's the middle of the road. Not much in middle of the road on this one, is there?
Well, it just shows you, John, how much of the left is just words, right? Mm-hmm. They think they can just say it and make it so. So that's her, right? I'm telling you, I'm middle of the road. She didn't demonstrate that. She demonstrated the opposite. And then Newsom's, I mean, that letter they put out for Newsom, I mean, she supports Newsom because he has made it clear that violence is not tolerated, yet in front of our faces, the violence is tolerated.
Well, these are mostly peaceful protests, right, Ty? Remember that. They're mostly peaceful.
It's so hypocritical, John. It's like, that's the thing about the left. They just think the words is all, they just have to say the words and they don't have to do anything to actually accomplish and keep our streets safe. It's just unbelievable to me that that's where we're at.
I do find it amusing that she chose to side with a violent mob waving foreign flags as they assaulted law enforcement and set fire to an American community. It really is perplexing, and yet it isn't. I mean, that's what they do. They fall in line behind who, you know, someone who is presumably one of the front runners for their, you know, 2028 presidential run.
Right. Can you imagine, John, just for a minute, any other country really in the world where you could go and you burn the flag of the country you're standing in and wave an American flag?
Right. Right.
It would just obviously not be tolerated. Can you imagine doing that particularly in countries like, you know, Russia? I mean, I think you'd be shot in the street.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this whole thing on these demonstrations, this no king garbage is proving we don't have a king. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, and I love the especially with the Palestine stuff, Palestine, you know, go there and try this stuff. Go to Hamas controlled territories and see how they treat you. But you can't reason with these folks.
You can't. I mean, what else is saying? It's like, you know, gays for God is like chicken for KFC, right? I mean, you just try to get away with that over there.
Gays for God is like chickens for KFC. That's a tweet right there. Remind me of that one. That's a tweet.
It's not original to me. Because, I mean, they kill people for that over there.
Yes.
They literally kill people.
Yes.
Right.
We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. Let me ask you a pivot to actual, you know, real subjects that matter. The Missouri legislature passed a measure. They did a special session in order to come up with something in order to kind of compete with what you guys did, an incentive package to entice the chiefs and the royals to stay. As I understand it, their proposal pays roughly 50% of the cost to renovate or build a new stadium. The one, the Starbond package that the legislature here in Kansas passed is up to 70%. Can you give us an idea what you think the status is, where the chiefs royals are falling?
Yeah, and I've been in the middle of that, right? Because, you know, LCC will have to make a decision at the end of the month whether or not we do any kind of moderate extension to the deal. And really, those percentages matter more like to the team or to the deal. What's most important to me is that there's no tax that got raised on Kansas. No taxpayer has any liability, right? We're in a very positive position from that perspective. We didn't have to give anything up, right? I mean, we had nothing to lose, and Missouri does. I think what you're seeing now is we're finally in the position where kind of best offers are on the table, if you will, right?
Right.
Kansas has a position. Missouri has a position. It's now just time for the teams to decide, you know, what they want to do. But I feel like we're still in a much better position. Missouri, in their deal, is literally they're giving up like $50 million in current tax revenue and all kinds of crazy stuff where Kansas isn't giving up anything.
No, and if you're one of the two teams – Well, 70% of my cost is a heck of a lot better than 50% of my cost. I'm curious, you mentioned it, that the current proposal that you have expires at the end of the month. Do you think the LCC will extend that, or you think you're just going to try and encourage the teams to make a decision before then?
Well, definitely encouraging to make a decision before them. I think here's how I'd couch it. I'm not real excited about extending. However, if I think you'll see if the Kansas leaders believe Kansas is still in the conversation in a legitimate way, you'll see some moderate extension. The law allows for us to extend up to a year. You're not going to see a year extension. You might see some, 60, 90 day thing to see if there's something they need to finish up. But there's, to us, I mean, we're not just playing games, get in or get out and let's go.
Yeah. I think that's smart. That's the responsible way to do it. I know this has all been about budgets, spending and taxes and whatnot. I'm curious to get your take. Governor Kelly said if you did the taxes, it's Brownback 2.0. You drive the fiscal state off the cliff, and yet budget numbers are still coming in above expectations. Revenues are still coming in at record levels. I guess tax cuts do work after all, huh, Ty? Amazing how that works.
They do, right? I mean, it's they clearly underestimated what I would call the Trump bump, right? The Trump economy, but he proved it last time. And then overestimated what they thought the tax effect was going to be. However, because those tax effects are coming in, it is imperative that Kansas start trimming its budget down.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to leave more in the pockets of the people. And we took those steps this last year, right? We cut $200 million out of the budget, but it's still, for the record, deficit spent as we're trying to smooth this out, right? As the tax cuts are being implemented, revenues the first year are just going to go down because of that. But we're still having record revenues. It's from all fronts, it appears to be working well.
Yeah, and I think from a perspective of someone who pays their taxes, I think it would be nice to see any more cuts that you can do. I'd love to be Florida or Texas and get to a point where we pay zero income taxes, and Lord, how we'd see out migration into Kansas. So I do have to ask, because I ask everybody who comes on the show, just so you know, it's not a you thing. It's an everybody thing. But there's been a lot of rumor about Ty Masterson maybe running for governor. By the way, I had Blake Carpenter on not too long ago. I asked him if he was running too. But I got to ask, what are your thoughts? Are you thinking about running for governor? Been a lot of people are excited at the idea that you might run for governor.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, I'm incredibly honored that that's on people's minds, that I'm on their minds in this conversation. So it is becoming a real serious consideration, and just looking at the field or the potential field, I feel like I'm the only one that can go, this is what I've done and will continue to do, versus the others have to tell you what they'd like to do, right? This is what I hope I can do, would like to do. And so I'm kind of the proven entity. So we're on the backside of making that decision, meaning that is coming. We'll probably make the decision here this month and let people know what we're doing middle of July.
Well, that's good to know. I love the timeline. When you get a little closer, I'm sure we'll have you back on. We've already had a couple of the candidates that have kind of toyed with it. And obviously we've had former Governor Collier on this show already. But when you're ready, you let us know. And if folks want to connect with you, I know they can follow you on X at Sen, S-E-N, Ty Masterson. I don't suppose you have a website up yet, do you?
I think not on the my Senate president's stuff's all up.
Okay.
And you can connect with me through all that. And we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on X, we're on Truth Social. So you can connect with me through all those mediums.
Well, Ty, I appreciate you as always. Keep up the good work, my friend, and carry on, brother. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, brother. Keep up the good work.
Oh, there's our Laura Kelly theme song. Nicely done. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget my friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great group of folks. If you're looking for a way to get involved and a campaign to help educate voters, reach out, connect with voters. And here's a nice little catch. They're hiring now. If you're looking for a little part-time work, reaching out to voters, door knocking, or if you just want to make phone calls or help to educate voters, AFP is a great way to do it. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And of course, while you're at it, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Two quick reminders. This coming up this Thursday is the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting. The guest speaker this month is Todd Starnes, who will be here in Wichita Thursday night, 6:30 at the Wichita Area Builders Association on North Main. So if you want to get out there, come on out, meet Todd Starnes and hear what he has to say. It should be a great meeting. And don't forget, the annual meeting of the Kansas State Rifle Association is in Topeka coming up on July 12th with Dan Mears. That's Casey Wolf. That's the guy he's a fantastic, phenomenal speaker. Be a great event. Plus there's all kinds of giveaways, raffles. If you're a gun enthusiast, if you value your Second Amendment rights, I highly recommend you attend the annual KSRA meeting. And if you're for more information on that, you can visit KansasRifle.org and for more information on that event. And I can't remember the caller's name.
That would be Jim.
Jim, that's right. Jim, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around.
Yes. Anyway, my question is it going to have a retractable roof for the new stadium?
Well, you know,
for the football stadium.
It depends. I have heard different ideas. They're currently deciding whether to renovate the existing stadium or building a new one. And I think part of that will depend on which deal they take. Obviously, if Missouri, if they go with that, they'll probably stay where they are. Plus, it's only 50% of the costs. If they go to Kansas, it's up to 70% of the costs. My guess is then that would be obviously be in a new location. And it's up to 70%, so you could go bigger and better. But what I have seen on the renovations versus the new stadium, the timeline is about 2031. So there's quite a timeline involved to get it done. But I have seen a new stadium could potentially include a retractable roof, which would then allow Kansas City to bid for major events like a Super Bowl. That's the upside. You got to have a dome. You got to have a roof in order to host a Super Bowl if you're in a market like we are, because they're just not going to give it to you if you have to deal with weather. So
roof stadium, that's retractable stadium in the business, New Orleans.
That's what it would be. It would be something like that. That would be retractable. And I've seen some of the pictures. If you Google it, you can see some of the initial designs that they released when they rolled it out, when they tried to get Missouri voters to pass the original project, which failed, by the way. Missouri voters rejected this, which is what opened the door to Kansas in the first place. But in their original proposal, it did include a retractable roof, rather. So I think my guess is that would be the way they'd want to go, because you have more options. If you put a dome on there, you put a retractable roof on there, you can bid for a Super Bowl. You can bid for bigger events if you have the ability to close it off to weather. So we'll see.
Okay. The New Orleans, can you play baseball in New Orleans?
It would be a different, the Royals are a separate deal. And from what everything I've heard, the Royals want to go downtown, and that would stay in Missouri. But that's what I've heard. Jim, I appreciate the call. That's what I've heard. So we'll see. We'll know soon. You never know with these types of things. Everything is so fluid, but we'll see. We'll take a quick break. When we return, nationally syndicated radio talk show host Todd Starnes will be with us. We'll discuss these unhinged violent mobs that have been rioting in American cities, his new book, and his upcoming trip to Wichita this Thursday. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Sitting here watching here in the studio, got the Giants and the Dodgers on. You know, I'm sorry, but if the big quake came and just, you know, crack fell into the ocean, would anybody really care? Tell your legislators To keep AM radio in vehicles now, text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. My next guest will be familiar to many of you. He is a host on Newsmax, a best-selling author, and host of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, which is a nationally syndicated radio show that airs weekdays at noon. He's also a Fox News alumni, and he'll be coming to Wichita next Thursday, actually, on the 19th at the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting at 6:30 p.m. Todd, thank you again for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, John, always great to hang out with you. Hope you're doing well.
I have to ask you, let's start with, and I know we're going to talk about the fact that you're coming to Wichita here next week, but I want to start with what we've been seeing going on in Los Angeles, and now it's spreading to other states and cities, unfortunately. But, you know, you look at what's been going on across the country, and these protesters, these radicals, burning American flags while waving Mexican flags. And it just really is indicative of the left and their strange priorities, isn't it?
Well, I've said for quite some time, and I know a lot of people, you know, mock me for saying this, but I truly believe that our nation has been invaded.
Yeah.
And I think there was a purpose to all of this. Now, the Democrats want the illegals here to skew with the census numbers and with the redistricting and the redrawing of congressional lines. I get that. But I think there's another thing going on here, and it was interesting. A reporter for Univision was on CNN the other day and actually fessed up and said, well, ultimately, this is about the fact that California used to be part of Mexico and the southwestern United States used to be a part of Mexico. And, John, I really do think they want their territory back. I know we paid for it. We won it in the war. We paid them for it, even though we won that territory. But they want California back. They want the southwestern United States back. And I think when you've got 20 million illegals that have been allowed to infiltrate the country, my concern is, what happens if we start seeing these kinds of uprisings in other cities? Will we be able to contain those?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. She said the quiet part out loud. And I think both parts of what you said are correct. I think, yes, it is about the territory they want it back. But the more devious part behind this, people often say, well, why are Democrats so in love with illegal immigration? And you're right. It is about the census, because I saw one analysis recently that said, theoretically, if Trump were to deport all of the illegals in the country, it's 30 congressional seats. Imagine what that would do if the Democrats lost 30 seats.
Well, it's a fair question. Look, there was someone said the other day, 34% of the population in Los Angeles is foreign born. There's some belief that as much as 10% of the population could be illegals. You take a million people out of the population of Los Angeles and you're losing congressional districts. You're looking at Republicans possibly picking up some congressional seats there. So when you extrapolate from that what's been happening around the nation, and keep in mind, the Biden administration was very strategic in where they were relocating these illegals. Many of them ended up in Tennessee, which is my home state, a majority, super majority Republican state. But even in places like New York City, they were depositing illegals into communities that were actually Republican districts. And, for example, the far reaches of Brooklyn, which is a Republican stronghold. So this is a pretty devious thing that the Democrats have done here.
You know, Todd, it makes you beg the question, what does the National Democrat Party stand for? I mean, right now they're out there defending this lawlessness. They're still calling some of this mostly peaceful protest nonsense again. And if you ask, if you think about it, I mean, we know Republicans stand for fiscal conservative policy, lower taxes, you know, the right to life, the protection of the Second Amendment, things like that. It seems like Democrats stand for Abrego Garcia, illegals, wide open borders, and biological males playing in girls' sports. What else do they stand for?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And the challenge with the Democrats is they are literally controlled. They're either controlled or they're terrified of the radical progressive wing of the party, the Ilhan Omars, the AOCs. Even David Hogg, as radical as that guy is, he's white and he's allegedly a straight guy, and he's a dude. And those things disqualify someone like David Hogg from serving in the Democrat Party. So that's why they're being so aggressive on all of these issues. And people like James Carville, you know, he's losing his mind because he knows these are losing propositions. You're dealing with issues where the Democrats are siding on, say, an 80-20 issue. They're siding with the 20 and not the 80. So I think the Democrats risk losing future elections unless the Republicans decide to muck things up with the BBB.
We're talking with nationally syndicated talk show host Todd Starnes. Todd, let me ask you a little bit about what's been going on the social fabric of America. You know, it's disheartening for me to see things like Sesame Street urging toddlers to celebrate Pride Month, you know, with their posts that they've been posting. You've got the NFL that came out and just did full-blown commentary saying basically that the NFL is all gay all the way, and yet the president finally saying, you know, hey, we're not going to do pride proclamations. And I've made it very clear to my listeners that my pride flag is red, white, and blue and has stars and stripes on it. I just don't understand. Again, this is an 80-20 issue, and it seems like so many are on the wrong side of the issue.
Yeah, when I heard the NFL's proclamation that the NFL is gay and queer, I know a number of tight ends and wide receivers were very nervous at that proclamation. As far as Sesame Street, look, here's what gets me. And I am a constitutionalist. I'm also a devout evangelical Christian, but I'm also a constitutionalist. And when it comes to my country, you're allowed to live your life however you want to live your life in this country. You don't have a right to force me to accept X, Y, or Z, but you have a right to live your life that way. My issue is when you go into the schools and you try and groom these children, you try and confuse these children, and that's what's been happening around the country. Look, when it comes to Sesame Street, Big Bird can pay his own electric bill. If Elmo wants to be tickled, have at it. It's a little pervy, if you ask me, but he can do that on his own dime. I am sick and tired of our tax dollars being used to fund a lot of this nonsense. But again, I think what one of the things the president has done, and it's really funny, and it puts evangelicals in a tough spot, because the president is a liberal on a lot of the big culture war issues of the day. But the president's overarching point is pretty much very similar to mine, which is it's America. You live your life. You do you. Just don't force you on me.
Yeah, and that is the way it should be. And yet, my take on it has always been that the left, this radical fringe super minority, doesn't want equal rights. They want us to embrace them. They want us to accept them. And they're not willing to give us the right to say, look, you do you and let me be me. That's not good enough for them.
No, it's not. And remember what Obama said after the Supreme Court redefined what God had already defined on marriage. He said to the nation, this is not going to impact you in the least. And that was probably one of the biggest lies of his presidency, because now it's a matter of being forced to accept. And if you don't, you're labeled a homophobe, a bigot. If you're the Southern Poverty Law Center, you're labeled a hate group. And it's a very sad thing. But again, I think President Trump is resetting everything. And I think a lot of these businesses that were being held hostage by the Human Rights Campaign and these other radical gay rights groups, they've come to realize, hey, wait a second, we can stand up to these folks. And look, the reality is that I would be willing to say that the majority of gay people in America feel the same way I do. They just want to live their lives. You know, they don't want to be grooming the kids. They just want to go and live their American dream.
Yeah, it's nobody's business. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. Nobody cares what I do in mine. And why do we have to display it, talk about it? I mean, I get you're prideful. Great. But pride is also one of the seven deadly sins. So let's move on from it as far as I'm concerned. But Todd, you know, one of the other things, and by the way, thank you for having you had me on Newsmax last week to talk about what we've been dealing with here in Wichita with these protests. You're coming to Wichita here next week. If you were here on a Saturday, you'd see them. But, you know, we're starting to see some of the rhetoric getting out of hand when you and I talked on Newsmax the other day. And, you know, you were talking about the guy walking around with the severed, bloodied Trump head and some of the other rhetoric. This is just not acceptable. And yet you see, like what we've seen in L.A., Maxine Waters making excuses, Gavin Newsom, again, they're calling this peaceful protests. And I get it. Even what we've seen in Wichita, it has been mostly peaceful. But at what point does a severed Trump head cross that line, or does it to these people?
Well, I don't think it does. I mean, they're out there wearing the 8647 right. shirts. I mean, they were chanting that in Wichita. And you have people that are actually defending this nonsense. Look, this is unacceptable behavior. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian. You don't go around, especially in this very volatile political, you know, situation, and call for people to be assassinated, especially when the president has survived not one but two assassination attempts. It's just unacceptable.
You've got a new book out. It's called Star Spangled Blessings. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, this is really a fun book, and this is number 8 for me. And it's this book is a collection of inspirational stories about America, devotions for patriots, 40 devotions. And I wanted to take folks on an adventure through American history and just explore some interesting stories about our founding fathers, about religious leaders, political leaders, stories that you may not be aware of. For example, Dwight D. Eisenhower was actually probably the most evangelical and devoutly religious president we've had in modern political history. And we tell a story about him. You know, a lot of people may not realize he was the only president baptized after he was elected to the White House. So we've got fun stories like that. And it's a whole heck of a lot of fun.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Well, and again, it's called Star Spangled Blessings. And if folks are interested, they can get a copy at toddstarnes.com. And they can see you. You're coming to Wichita. You'll be at the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting. That's coming up next Thursday, the 19th. That's next Thursday evening at the doors at 6:30, and the event starts at 7, but you'll be here in Wichita, right?
It's going to be a lot of fun, and always fun to see our great Wichita friends and listeners. It's a great, great city you guys have.
Well, Todd, we appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us, and they can obviously find your show and more information about you and get a copy of the book at toddstarnes.com or next Thursday here in Wichita at the Sedgwick County Republican Party.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and you can also get it at your local Barnes & Noble or Books A Million.
I appreciate you again. Thank you again for joining us, my friend. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, we'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. What did you think of this weekend's No Kings protests? What did you think of the 250th birthday celebration of the United States Army or the president's birthday or any of the other stuff that we've been seeing in the news lately? Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk. Give us a call. Love to hear from you. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for everybody. You have the power to change the trajectory of our city and our country, state for that matter. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And if you or someone you know is looking for a little work, want to do some door knocking, want to help inform voters, AFP is hiring for part-time folks for door knocking. You can also get information on that at AmericansForProsperity.org. And, of course, while you're online, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Nice to talk to Todd. He's just a great friend. It's been great to get to know him over the years, and it's going to be fun to have him here in Wichita on Thursday at the Sedgwick County Republican Party's monthly meeting. That's at the Wichita Area Builders Association at just there on North Main Street, across from just north of City Hall and the old Sedgwick County Courthouse. It's like a 500 block there. So speaking of the Sedgwick County Courthouse, the Republican Party had some folks who were out not doing a counter protest on Saturday, but yesterday just you know, kind of celebrating America, celebrating Flag Day and the birthday of the Army and the president's birthday. And I had a conversation with one gentleman who, you know, you could have gone down and joined the No Kings. You could have come out to join us. And I asked him, I said, so what brought you out here today? Why did you come to this, you know, event, to this rally, instead of going down and joining the wackadoodles? And this was his answer I had to share with you.
So why did you choose this location?
Because it's the land of beautiful people and right people. It's not the people down there with purple hair and look like idiots, and it looks like a Star Wars bar. We're all freaks.
I mean, it's just perfect.
Well, you got a good crowd here today, that's for sure.
That is without a doubt. That is without a doubt the best answer. That they're just freaks with the purple hair, and it looks like a Star Wars bar. I mean, look, you know, I've been down there, and I'm sure I'll go down again to interview some of the folks that are down at these protests. And to their credit, they are at least mostly peaceful. But, you know, someone does need to remind these morons that the hate that they're filled with, and folks, they are filled, by and large, they are filled with hate. There's just a lot of animosity, a lot of anger, a lot of vitriol, and it's directed at, sorry to just be as blunt as this, but it's directed at us. If we voted for Trump, if we're quote-unquote MAGA, if we're Republicans, they hate us. And that's the sad part, because I don't hate them. I don't have, I mean, I kind of feel sorry for them, and I kind of mock them and I laugh a little bit because I think they're ignorant, but I don't hate any of them. And it's just unfortunate that that's the attitude that they have, because they are filled with hate. And if you try and have a conversation with them, as you heard, you know, the last time I did the man on the street interviews with them, there's just not a lot of reasoning with them, and there's not a lot of reason behind their sentiments, behind their reasons for doing what they're doing. They're just angry. They're mad. And they need somebody, something to vent their frustrations to. So, you know, we'll go down and we'll do another man on the streets interview with them, because they're kind of funny. But, you know, they do it on every Saturday and on Mondays. And part of that's because I think they're 60s. Geriatric, you know, hippies who are now retired and don't have anything else to do because Lord knows they don't have jobs. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then Emily Berning, president and co-founder of Let Them Live, will expose how Planned Parenthood has quietly become one of the largest suppliers of cross-sex hormones in America. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you about our Odyssey app. If you're looking for a way to stay connected or listen to Odyssey on the go, you can download the Odyssey app or tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS radio. I was laughing because Phil's still trying to connect with our next guest, so we'll see if we can get her. But if you're looking for a way to connect or listen on the go, a perfect way to do that is with the Odyssey app. And of course, while you're online, you can like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay informed and get all the latest updates on the show. Want to remind you as well, I know I mentioned it already, but the Kansas State Rifle Association has their upcoming meeting. It's their annual meeting coming up on July 12th in Topeka. Check out kansasrifle.org for more information. One of the things that we try and keep you updated on, and people, one of the things I know that Americans for Prosperity is out when they're door knocking and talking to folks about is the judicial selection, because it's a major issue that's going to come up next year in the fall election. That will be on the ballot, is how we select our Supreme Court justices. Well, here's a little update for you that people may not know about at this point, because I haven't heard this. But last week, in secret and unreported by the media, by the way, secret, you know, I had not read anything on this at all. The unelected commission that picks our Supreme Court judges selected two unfit judges and a liberal attorney as candidates to replace retiring Justice Evelyn Wilson on the Kansas Supreme Court. Justice Wilson is retiring, and so there's going to be a vacancy. So the Supreme Court nominating commission met last week, and they picked three people, two judges that are wholly unfit, and another liberal, in order to be the three names that will be sent to the governor. And it just demonstrates the complete lack of transparency and accountability in the nominating process. You didn't have a say in it. I didn't have a say in it. Kansas voters didn't. Hell, most of us don't even know that this has happened. And unsurprisingly, by the way, this unelected commission, who the left will say is fair and balanced and it's all based on merit, voted. It's all a bunch of progressive Democrats, by the way, voted unanimously for these three candidates. You can't get... I'm sorry, you can't get that many people to all agree on anything. And yet they all voted unanimously on these three candidates. One of whom will become Laura Kelly's fourth appointee to the Kansas Supreme Court. So our radical left-wing governor will have now appointed four justices to the Supreme Court. This is why we have to get this changed. It is time to reject this rigged system and give you the opportunity to create a more impartial court. You have no representation, zero representation on the Kansas Supreme Court, and you deserve better than a court of party loyalists who put their personal agenda, their politics, above our Constitution. And fortunately, next fall, you will have the chance to do just that. Because this is abhorrent to me. The lack of transparency here, the lack of oversight, the lack of even scrutiny. I didn't even know this had happened. I mean, Phil, have you even heard anything about this? I mean, you work here at the station. Have you heard anything? Has it been reported at all?
No.
How does that happen? I mean, how does that get out? How does we're a news talk station. And I did not, and I listened to KNSS. I never heard him report it once.
And this is something that it's like you're saying, it's just kind of flown under the radar.
Yeah, well, be that's intentional or, I mean, by design. But we have got to get this changed. And the only way that's going to happen is through, obviously, the constitutional amendment that's on the ballot next fall. But it's just terrible that we're having to go through this. Mm-hmm. And here we have once again this commission that's made up of, you know, nine people, but five of whom are picked by lawyers. So the majority, which means it doesn't matter what the others do. Mm-hmm. They pick them and that's it. You're done. It's horrible. There's just such a lack of transparency, of accountability, of democratic process. You know, you talk about no kings. These are the people who are kings.
Well, if you're going to elect others in a certain way, why are we not doing it with our judges as well?
Well, yeah. You know, the biggest objection that you hear right now is that we can't trust the voters you can't trust. Well, if you can't trust them to choose, well, first off, that's how we've been doing it. It's how we did it for years in the state of Kansas for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. And it's how we do it at every other judge level. It's how we do it for our congressmen, for our governor, for our senators, for our legislators. But it's all of a sudden it's not good enough for the Supreme Court. I mean, it makes no sense to me.
I wish I had an answer for you. I'm just a guy behind the microphone.
That is true. I mean, it's the bottom line is Kansans have the opportunity to pass this ballot measure and ensure that our laws prohibit these unelected individuals and, more importantly, special interest groups from ruling the courts. I guarantee you the ACLU, the Trial Lawyers Association, they're the ones that are going to be spending millions of dollars to kill this thing next year. And the only way that we're ever going to make real change is to get this to pass. And it was SCR 1611, which creates a constitutional amendment to abolish the Supreme Court nominating commission. It establishes the direct election of Supreme Court justices. It'll just go on a ballot. Mm-hmm. And I do find it kind of amusing that the left is out there saying that we can't trust the voters, basically. We can't trust you to make up your own decision because you're too stupid to vote on. That's basically what they're saying, is they don't trust you. You're too stupid to make the decision.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm the kid in the back of the class.
No. Yes. On. Timmy, go ahead.
Okay. So to make these changes, what has to happen? What's the timeline to?
That's it. It's next year. It'll be on
this year is already
done. It's on the ballot. It will be on the ballot. I think it's the primary. I don't think it's the general. I could be wrong, but it'll either be August or November next year. Gotcha. I believe it's on the primary ballot.
Okay.
But either way, it's August or November next year.
Not soon enough.
No. Well, clearly. Yeah. Cause they just picked one. Yeah. So now if they have actually picked that person, because this just got reported, I just heard this. Mm-hmm. So if they've actually picked the three people, then that will, I don't know what the timeline is. It's probably 30 days or something like that. Then they send those names to Laura Kelly and she has to pick one of the three names. And then that's who gets, it's just that simple. There's no Senate oversight. There's no, even the federal model has that, you know, the Senate picks and has the ability. No, none of that. It's, you know, where the president picks and then sends them, the Senate has to, consent. No, this goes straight to the governor. She has to pick one of the three. So if that's the case, I don't know what the timeline is, but it's probably 30 days would be my guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Something like that. So, and I know that, you know, the press is saying that the commission provides, you know, that it's this merit-based and all that, merit-based selection, but we're the only state in the country that does it this way. The only state. There's probably a reason for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not because it's the great way. Because if it was great, more people would do it.
Everybody else would be doing
exactly
what we're doing.
Yeah. Gotcha. Exactly. Yes. It's this opportunity that you will have next year, direct election of justices returns voting power to the people of Kansas. That's what it comes down to. We're going back to allowing people to elect and select their justices. It's how we do it at county level in many counties here in the state. It's the way it's been done for years. It's a model that works, and it's a model that works well. And we're giving power back to people to select, you know, the way it should be done. I just don't understand the objections here. The people who are defending the current system are the ones that are in power and want to cling to power, is really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. Here, I just looked it up. Yes, it's looks like vote on the proposed change August 4th, 2026. So, yeah, it's the primary.
Okay.
So it's primary next year.
A little over a year from now. Yeah.
Which means there'll be a ton of money flowing in from the ACLU and other organizations next year. Trust me, there will be a lot of money. We'll take a quick break. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Looking for a little summer work? Got a kid or a grandkid that, you know, make a little money on the side? Americans for Prosperity is hiring. got to do a little door knocking, get out, get some exercise, and help educate voters on the issues that are important, that affect them, especially leading into the fall elections. And, of course, you're making a difference and making your voice heard. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up for information. Maybe if you're interested, you got somebody looking for work, great organization, a great way to get involved. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Don't forget, Thursday evening, the Sedgwick County Republican Party is hosting their monthly meeting with special guest Todd Starnes, who will be with us here in Wichita Thursday night. The doors are at 6:30. The event starts at 7, and that's at the Wichita Area Builders Association there on North Main. Should be a lot of fun. So make sure you come out. There'll be a lot of candidates there. It's just they're always fun. Those GOP meetings are always a blast. One thing that I want folks to realize, I know we kind of talked about a little bit last week, but barely 4 months ago, Wichita voters rejected the $450 million school bond. And I know I shared with you last week that bureaucrats at USD 259 are already plotting to put another bond issue on the ballot as soon as this November. And you'd think, you know, fool me once. You'd think that after blowing $250,000 just to promote their last bond campaign, they'd, I don't know, maybe want to reconsider. But no, they're gluttons and they're greedy and they're arrogant. And in this case, the arrogance is off the charts. And I like to remind folks that you know, what they want to do. They want to build school buildings, as opposed to doing what they should be doing, which is putting money in the classroom, you know, paying teachers, actually focusing on outcomes. Because right now in Wichita Public Schools, just 19% of students are proficient in reading. 19%. In when it comes to mathematics, only 16% are proficient. That means that more than 8 out of 10 students are not at grade level in basic subjects. Yet they want more of your money to build more buildings. And I'm sorry, folks, but more buildings aren't going to improve either of those numbers. You can learn in a trailer. You don't need a new building to educate. You need good teachers. You need to pay those good teachers. And none of this money is going to teachers or pay. So no amount of new money is going to fix this problem. Over the last 25 years, there's been no significant improvement in student achievement, and yet we keep dumping money into the school district. It ain't the solution. And I think that's the problem here. And the reason I bring this up is because for this district, for USD 259, it's the reason the bond initiative failed in Goddard. Same problem. Because it's not about kids. It's not about future-ready educations. It's about power. It's about control. And it's about taking more of your hard-earned money without being held accountable for their terrible results. And we have to be prepared. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because 4 of the USD 259 board members are up for re-election this fall. Some have a primary in August. Either way, they'll all be on the ballot in November. And I've talked to Kathy Bond. She does not support another bond initiative. I've talked to Diane Albert. She does not support another bond initiative. Both of them recognize the voters spoke. The voters sent a message. And before you go back to voters for more money, you should start at least addressing their concerns. I haven't had a chance to talk to Hazel Stabler. I'd like to. I've got a call into her. But we need to make sure that we start there because the board will have to approve any other request for a bond. But folks, because 4 members of the school board, that's enough to, that's control right there. 4 members of USD 259 school board are up for re-election. So you need to make sure you know where every candidate stands on this issue. and if they support yet another multi-million dollar tax increase. Because that's what this is. This is a tax increase. So as you start hearing, you know, forums and conversations with candidates and coffees and meet and greets and whatever, start asking these candidates, did you support the last bond? Will you support a new one if it comes up, or when? Because it's not an if. It's going to come. So the question then is, when it comes, will you support it? And why or why not? What did you think of the last? Do you think that we should just ignore the will of the voters who said no? What's different now? What makes this vote any different than the last? Because the answer is nothing. The only thing different is your greed. Nothing's changed. You haven't listened. You just want the money. You failed the last time. You just want more money. Because that's the only, it's just, you didn't like the outcome. Well, just because you don't like the outcome doesn't mean you get a do-over. Do-overs only work when you're playing tiddlywinks. You know, when you're 12 years old or 5 years old or 8 years old and you're on the school playground. Do-overs don't work in this. And when you're coming back for multiple hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer rate property tax increases to people who are on fixed incomes or retirees, you don't get a do-over. So again, four members, Julie Hedrick, Hazel Stabler, Kathy Bond, Diane Albert, they're up for re-election. I'm afraid we're going to know where Julie is because she's a Democrat. She's a liberal. She votes with the unions. She'll do what the unions tell her to do. We'll see. We'll ask. I predict where she'll be. I'm hoping Hazel will be where Diane and Kathy are. I'm hoping Hazel, who is a Republican, I'm hoping Hazel will be with the other three. I'm hoping Hazel will be a no. Then all we have to do is put pressure on Julie Hedrick. Or better yet, vote her out. She has an opponent. Vote her out. And get someone in there who will stand for taxpayers, who will stand for account, who will insist on accountability. Look, if they need more money, we'll give them more money if they'll be accountable for outcomes, if they'll deliver, if we can see marked deliverable change and improvement in outcomes. But when you have 19% of your students who can read, when 81% of your kids can't read and 84% of your kids can't do basic math, come on. You not only don't deserve more money, you deserve to be fired. You deserve to be out on your derriere. You sure as heck don't deserve any more taxpayer money. And those are facts. I'm not making that up. 8 out of 10 students are not at grade level in basic subjects. And yet every year we keep giving them more and more and more money. Money's not the solution. And now is the time you can make a difference because they're up for re-election. So make sure you know where every candidate stands on this issue and if they support yet another multi-million dollar tax increase. Trust me, you're going to hear this from me. I'm not going to let this go. I'm like a dog with a bone on this kind of stuff. I will not let this go. Trust me. In the meantime, I wish again a happy Father's Day to our listeners out there and have a great week. Carry on, fellow deplorables.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.